My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so. You could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart. You could find with Christ if you're one with Christ.
Hey, good morning, Patriots. And today is Friday. Is it Friday, really? I mean, I can't believe this. It is Friday, April 26th. Sorry, I had to really rethink. I've been traveling now. I left 23 days ago. I just checked it this morning. So it's been a fantastic trip and a fantastic journey. And got home last night around 10:30 to 11 after a great day and a little bit longer day than I anticipated, but the pups did amazingly well. Arrived home, it's been raining all the way back pretty much yesterday. I left yesterday at 11, about 11:30 from Pendleton. And then I headed over to Grass Valley. I know Nikki posted some photos on our social media, and I met up with the owner of Carson Shoes, which is Everett Carson, and he's moved his operation down to a very small town. He's one of these guys that really has great forward thought. He had been in Portland, kind of Beaverton or over on Oregon City side. I can't remember, but anyway, in the Portland metro area. And just got fed up with the amount of taxes and nonsense that was going on over there. So he finds a building in this little tiny town. This is like it's an old farming town that has very little left. It's very much just a town with a general store, which is an old style general store. It's got a coffee shop and cafe built into the general store and a liquor store all in one. And a couple other small things going on there. And then he's bought this building on the main strip. Where he is setting up his new factory for Carson Shoes. So really awesome, great guy. Had some great encounters. The dogs were fantastic. They were tired. They'd played super hard, so they slept there for a while. We walked them around a little bit around his property. It was about a half an acre on the, in the main town. Had a chance to meet a local pastor just by chance, which I'll talk a little bit about here in a minute, and then headed on over to into kind of the Oregon City area, which is Clackamas, actually. Clackamas, which is where CJ and Rick Moyer live, and I spent, had dinner with them and had some cool things going on there, and then got home last night about 10:30, got up this morning. By the time I got everybody settled in, the dogs fed, got them into their crate, which they settled in very quickly to. Took them for about an hour walk around the property at night, which I can't let them off lead right now because we have, I have to check all the fences. I found three holes that they could get through this morning on the fences. Not cows, but they definitely can. And then this morning we started at 5:30, and I've been walking for about an hour around the property, and they got their first introduction to the cows. So anyway, they're doing great. They're actually overwhelmed with the expanse of new smells and experiences and deer poop and elk poop and whatever else is in the grass. And they are definitely very settled in. They're in their crate right now sleeping, and they're doing great. It's wet. It's been raining and drizzling out here. The grass is soaked. And of course, they're settling into their new home. It'll take them a few days. It'll take me a few days to get all the fencing secure, but I'm excited for them. They've got more space than they've ever imagined to work on, and they're going to be doing really well. I sent over a couple of pictures to Nikki, which she'll post just from this morning, so that was nice. And they're very curious about the cows, and the cows are definitely very curious about them. So we have 33 head of cow that are cattle are looking at them going, what are you? And they're looking at the 33 head of cattle going, what are you? So this will take a little introduction time, but I'm sure everything will go just fine. All right, Patriots. So before we get going here, one of the things to really keep in mind in this time is the need to secure and ensure that we have our food supplies well reinforced with emergency food supplies. These are crazy times, and no doubt that we have unknown things happening, a lot of uncertainty, and you don't want to be caught short with the need to have food. And remember, preparations are not just for ourselves. They're giving us strength within a community. And so it's important to be well prepared. My Patriot Supply is the number one supplier in the United States of emergency food. And we know that there is a point coming here that something is going to snap. I mean, when you start running the level of debt that we have, and you start overrunning, you start doing some of the things we're going to talk about this morning and trying to undo America, there's a breaking point that's going to happen. We are at war with our government. Our government is at war with us. And so it's essential that we start to realize just how critical these times are. And food is always a weapon. These are old thinkers that don't care what they do. They'd rather starve you to death than feed you and make you comply to them and then feed you bugs. So be prepared. So to do that, head over to preparewithbards.com, preparewithbards.com. Take advantage of the four-week emergency food kit, which is available for $50 off. It's amazing. It's well-designed, well-packaged. It's in four-layer bags. It has a 25-year shelf life. It's in a bucket with a handle. So it's literally a grab-and-go type kit, which is important. Get one for every member of your family. Have that as one of your baselines to your emergency food and your emergency preparedness. And obviously, there's different levels of emergency preparedness. There is that you need in an emergency, and then there's those that you're going to prepare and you have to sustain if it's a long duration. But My Patriot Supply has what you need, so head on over to preparewithbards.com. Take advantage of the four-week emergency food kit. You won't be disappointed. Lots of interesting things going on today, and I do mean that. We have one of the big things here is in discussion about what the state of the economy is. And obviously, jobs are a big issue. And we are seeing this fallout in the strange questions of literally, why can't people get jobs? At the core of it is the game of statistics. Now, when we get into the Biden administration, and I don't even think that's a fair statement, because literally what you're dealing with is a cabal. And right now, at the head of the cabal is this buffoon that we call Biden, but behind it are some very smart manipulative and very dangerous people. This current state of this current tyranny and tyrannical government that we're dealing with is telling Americans that there are 6,429,000 people that are officially unemployed. But here's the disturbing part of that. The actual number, because they don't count Americans that are considered not in the labor force, and that has a lot to do with time, and people have been out of the labor force. What is very concerning about that is that number, the Americans without a job who are considered not in the labor force, is 99,989,000. That's one third, roughly, of our population is unemployed at this point in time. That should concern everybody, because that level of unemployment at some point is going to break. That means two-thirds of the public, and I don't believe that counts children. That would be people that are out of the labor force for whatever reason. Some of those are extended, those homeless. You have people that are on welfare. They're out of the labor force. And you have, of course, the elderly. So you have effectively two-thirds of the United States supporting one-third, but it gets worse because what we're dealing with is the reduction of that of the children. So it's probably more like about, half of that number is supporting one-third of the United States. It's one-third supporting one-third effectively. I don't think we'd be far from saying that. We are in a dangerous time. That when we get to those sorts of numbers, it's very dangerous. And we're seeing more and more of this, of the loss of jobs. It's quietly happening. The people are just not tracking in the mainstream media, which is part of this kind of glaze over the truth and not let people know what's going on. And we see that. We have thousands of Tesla workers in California and Texas were just notified that they will be losing their jobs. The notifications in California and Texas were the electric vehicle marker has large presence came in from a WARN notices, according to the reports. In California, the planned Tesla headcount reductions will hit approximately 3,300 workers, the San Francisco Standard reported Tuesday. Meanwhile, in Texas, we will see almost 2,700 employees in Austin lose their jobs. All these liberal cities becoming bastions for unemployment. And it goes on, this is an article in Zero Hedge this morning. Sadly, the pace of layoffs is likely to increase during the months ahead because of business activity in the U.S. is declining. People aren't buying. They just aren't. The economy had lost momentum in April. A pair of S&P surveys found as business reported a decline in new orders and reduced employment for the first time since the pandemic. The Flash U.S. Manufacturing Purchase Managers Index slipped to a four-month low of 4.9 in April and 51.9 in March. So meanwhile, the cost of living crisis just continues to escalate. Shockingly, at one station in California, gasoline now costs $7.29 per gallon. Soaring gas prices have skyrocketed to a whopping $7.29 per gallon in some parts of California, which is above the current national hourly minimum wage. While the average price for a gallon of gas varies from state to state, drivers in a certain Silicon Valley town are facing particular extortionate rates that set them back almost $150 for a full tank. This is the world we live in. So I want you to hear this piece right here.
A warning to America. 25 ways the U.S. is being destroyed in under 2 minutes. 1. Open borders and illegal immigration. 2. Rampant crime and unsafe cities. 3. Mass addiction and fentanyl. 4. Election insecurity and interference. 5. The educational indoctrination of children. 6. The asymmetrical weaponization of justice. 7. The destruction of private property rights. 8. Inflation and debt. 9. The global depopulation agenda. 10. Record low fertility and plummeting birth rates. 11. Unaccountable federal bureaucracies. 12. Toxic food supply. 13. Vaccine and pandemic disinformation. 14. The trans contagion and sterilization of children. 15. Overprescription of pharmaceuticals. 16. Destruction of the nuclear family and parental rights. 17, DEI and the new racism. 18, moral and societal decay. 19, the financing of endless foreign wars. 20, the sprawling surveillance state. 21, the centralization and consolidation of government power. 22, the destruction of trust in institutions. 23, the censorship industrial complex. 24, state media propaganda. 25, the smearing of those who challenge it.
Mission log 2050-.
This is a very disturbing point when we put it all together to see how much is happening simultaneously. And quite frankly, most Americans are not able to process even a tenth of that, let alone believe that their government has actually become a tyrannical force against them. And so it's something that we have to just continue to wage our war and literally continue to try to wake people up. The fact of the matter is that we don't really have an ability at this point in time to wake a number of people up. I think that there's a lot of discussion about this right now in the overall movement of where we are. And I think there's a lot of people that are saying, stop trying to wake people up. I don't think that's anything we ever stop, but I do say this. It is the people that are entrenched now are entrenched to stay for a while. And the only thing that's going to dislodge them from that thinking is going to be something rather dramatic and shocking that will leave them having to face the failure of a system, which leads to either total system collapse or the squeezing to such a degree that they become subject to the first-hand approach of tyranny. Right now, there's still a buffer zone between tyranny and their beliefs, especially if you're in woke. They tend to believe that this is all a difficult transition time of the world. What an amazing brainwashing tool. This is a difficult transition time for the world as we have to come to grips with a zero-carbon footprint society. These are just growing pains. Part of that in the depopulation agenda for many on the woke side is it's okay because there's too many humans anyway, as long as it doesn't include them. There's always this thing I wonder when we get into that is if we can just take people and say, okay, if you believe in that, would you please self-terminate? And I guarantee you they won't, because it's always somebody else and it's always somebody else's problem. Now, the surveillance state and the level of intensity in our world, in our own country, is growing exponentially. We have a country that is literally being run by the Khazarian mafia cabal, and everything they're doing in their measures is to protect themselves. That's coming out in the framing, one of the very important areas of the framing, because they claim themselves to be Jewish and are Zionist, is to pass laws in our country that ensure that under no circumstances can you speak out against Israel. Anytime you create a coveted class of people, you an untouchable class of people, you're asking for trouble. And unfortunately, as we've talked about many times, there are many churches in this nation, the pulpits, that are saying that this is okay because they advocate for this position that there is a two-tier justice in heaven. This is our two-tier system in heaven, that there are people that are very special to God and everybody else is lesser. That is not biblical. But it is functionally controlled, I guess I would say, by the Mossad and the agencies of intelligence and others to make the church and pulpit speak that message, which is little more than an indoctrination to the youth. Now, there is an issue that happened yesterday, which is interesting. There was a pro-Palestinian protest at the Indiana University, and what was spotted was a police sniper photographed and filmed overlooking the pro-Palestinian protest. Conservative journalist Margaret Meng said she's never seen anything like this on campus. And we're beginning to see the range of things starting to reveal themselves as to just who they actually serve. They don't serve us. I think that's the most important thing. These Ukrainian flags they fly, which I spoke of yesterday, the Congress was waving after they passed the Ukrainian bill. That should tell everybody everything. The allegiance is to where their masters live. Their masters live in Ukraine, which is the same region very close to what they call Khazarian or Khazaria, which is where the Khazarian mafia originated, and it takes its roots back to Viking Age. we don't have a perspective of history and time that allows us to consider that. And that's a very disturbing thing. Now, this is interesting. This is a piece that Stu Peters is coming out with. It's called Old World Order 2024. This is the teaser trailer. I want to play for it. It's pretty interesting.
There's a lot of architecture in the world today on every continent of buildings that are much, much larger than you would think people of our height would build.
Cities in America that look as though they were constructed in medieval Europe.
The outside's incredible, but the inside is built like a palace.
I'm not sure if there were even any schools of architecture back then.
How did they know how to do this stuff?
We're at the pinnacle of our civilization now. This is the best it gets. The best we've ever done. Look at the quality of these walls.
Now you'll go through a neighborhood and every home looks the same.
Had we known we're going backwards, everyone would be pissed.
As an architect of 20 years, I like to look at a building as telling its own story. I like to say that stones don't lie.
And they're giving us timelines of like a year. It was built in a year.
The history that we've been told is a lie.
Why would a regular sized human make something so massive?
How did they build that beautiful, beautiful building? Was that building here longer?
I feel like the building was here already.
What was actually in the towers? What kind of technology was up there?
These buildings were built by the prior civilization.
A beautiful, easy, graceful method of travel flushed down the drains.
Nope, no more airships.
And they have to lie to us about it. They had to write the storybooks. We learn about one fire, the Chicago Great Fire.
There were fires in every major city.
Burned to the ground.
It's impossible for any stone building to be burning down.
What's being kept from us is huge.
What a world it must have been.
So there's literally been a cover-up of history more than one way.
Oh, the humanity!
If you've never looked at dirigible travel, airship travel, it's pretty fascinating. There is a Moffett Field in California. It is a Navy base. There is a hangar there. There's also one up in in Tillamook, Oregon. These hangars are massive. And knowing the construction that goes involved in them, if you just look at the timbers, because many of these were constructed with timbers, the architecture and the size of these buildings are phenomenal. The one in Alameda, California, is so large that they actually have weather effects that happen within the building. Not exaggerating. They actually is so large for such a massive airship that there are clouds that form in the top of the building. So this is, I bring all this up because there's a lot to our history as we start to unfold all of this. Much of this deals with suppressing who we are, what our origins were, what type of technologies were here, and how they've created a completely dependent society on this elite few that controls all the strings. The indications are the more that we look deeply at the older cultures, there are many things just don't make sense. And this includes healing. This includes restorative powers of the body. This includes the wellness of a society and how it is inspired. It deals with even its relationship with innovation and its peace within itself. We've been subjugated by a cabal. These people are evil. They are the same people that take joy and pleasure in the murder and execution of children, and even worse, enjoying watching these sorts of things, these heinous crimes. These are the same type of people that have been consumed in the pedophile rings that enjoy the pleasure of not just doing, but even watching others destroy children. These sorts of people are now in control of the world. The true heart of who we are rests in an old world history that has been deeply overwritten and buried through fires and destruction. I mentioned this once before, but it's worth mentioning this morning, is that one of the questions I continue to have is, what was the purpose of Lewis and Clark's expedition? And people say, well, very simply, it was to find a route to the West. But that doesn't make any sense, because the route to the West was already known. In fact, the Hudson Bay Company was already established in the West. They already knew the routes there. They were already trading off of the Western coast. People don't understand, often realize that in Oregon, most of the settlements in Oregon were resupplied by ship and by sea, not by land. We had ports all up and down the Oregon coast. You can still find remnants of them. But here's the other thing. It's shocking. 30% of those cargo ships were destroyed, sunk. Why? How? The Oregon, they say the Oregon coast is treacherous, but these seafaring people wouldn't be doing that with that level of risk, the volume of traffic there had. So there's something else going on here in our histories, whether it was a war, which is likely. There is a lot of things that they don't want us to know. There was an incident in the Civil War where Russians parked a tall ship off the coast of San Francisco and told the British to stay out of America or they would launch a war against England. Again, this is these perspectives and knowledge of who we are very obscured, to say the least, and we are left with a lot of questions. And part of this is being when you detach people and unhinge them from their histories, they become very easy to control. So this is kind of leads us to where we're starting to see in this replacement strategy that is going on right now in our country. And this is a post from Rob Green. And it says, this is Commander Rob Green. We've had him on the show. Our leaders are recruiting from overseas, yet they refuse to reinstate the courageous 8,000 plus they kicked out over the mandate. Recently, I witnessed a brief with multiple admirals discussing how to get illegals green cards so they can enlist. This does not end well, America. And so this is Robert Moran says, incredible first day in the Philippines, processed no less than 10 qualified applicants. I want to thank the RAOs for the support today and all the applicants for braving the heat and coming out and applying to be part of the world's greatest Navy. We're replacing our soldiers. We are replacing our people with foreigners that are not American. They haven't even accepted America yet. They're just green card fast tracked. This replacement strategy is by design to create a new military and a new power structure within our federal government that has no allegiance to you and I. This COVID con, which we've talked about here before, it has all the makings and profiling of a selection process, which I believe is very much what we're dealing with. And the selection process was to weed out those that would not be compliant to this new world order. Well, we know who we are, and I'm proud to be that part, but it's real when we start looking at how this is all coming together. In particular, when we start to get into the issues of AIs and how they're controlling the world. We are in an extremely dangerous point, and I can't stress that enough as to what this is going to look like, to the level of control that we've never imagined. Apple has just released its new Apple 18. For those of you that are eager to rush out and buy yet another surveillance product, the Apple 18 now has an active AI chip that runs autonomously from any main system. It learns from you. It has over 3 billion parameters in it. They say it's customizable, but it learns everything from your data, and it does more than that. It connects and will mine all of your old Apple systems. So if I bring in an iPhone 18 as an example, it will now connect to the Apple ecosystem. And even though my computer is a couple of years old and doesn't have the AI chip, it will mine that data and activity on that computer as it will mine the activity and data on an iPad. And all because Apple uses a closed ecosystem, all of this is collated and then brought back into the mothership of Apple. Apple has teamed with Google, which nothing could possibly go wrong there, to try to develop a more personalized and interactive AI. And that's part of the iPhone 18 launch. Literally, technology will be the death of humanity. There is no question about that in my mind. And unless we do something about it, we're going to be in a major, major problem. We're also seeing the growth of the censorship world. We heard that just a moment ago. One of the things that they're doing now, which reminds you of FISA, is to use foreign countries to censor, be kind of the censorship for the world, which means it's a backdoor to try to crush the First Amendment. Take a listen to this piece.
An Australian senator has called for ex-owner Elon Musk to be jailed for life for refusing to adhere to the Australian government's demands to remove a video of the brutal attack on a Christian bishop in Sydney last week by an apparent Muslim extremist. X was ordered by the Australian federal court on Monday to block all users from viewing the footage. And the important thing with it is that actually X blocked it in Australia. The Australian government wants it blocked everywhere. They want to censor it even right here in the United States. And Elon Musk said, our concern is that if any country is allowed to censor content for all countries, which is what the Australian e-safety commissioner is demanding, then what is to stop any country from controlling the entire internet? I'd say that the attempt by the Australian censorship authorities to censor the free speech of Americans is a violation of American law under the Constitution. And frankly, I would say that them violating American law through their ridiculous order is terrible. And in my opinion, honoring a demand like this would mean violating the law of the United States, of our Constitution, on behalf of a foreign government that is trying to go far, far beyond its jurisdiction.
This is a backdoor to crushing any sort of rights. It's the first lead-in towards what the one-world government would look like. And it reminds you, like I said, of FISA. Remember how FISA worked? They couldn't surveil Americans, so they gave that authority to one of our Five Eyes partners to surveil America. And in so doing, they were able to then suppress and American rights and use their tools from a foreign government to then backdoor and then give our intelligence agencies what they wanted. This is the same principle. And all of this is just about this cronyism that we're dealing with here, which is an international cabal of people that quite literally have taken and seized control of the world. And they see us, and as I've said before, the word that in the Zionist world is goyim, which apparently, as I understand it, translates to cattle. But the thing that's worse than cattle, you don't torture animals. These people are sick. They truly are sick. And they enjoy the slow destruction and painful destruction of human lives. One of the things that struck me very heavily back in 2016 when we did the Kilroy Rising, which was a super PAC supporting President Trump, and we were on the road going to small towns throughout Midwest. The thing that strikes you so much is when you drive into these towns, small towns, and you look at the people and ask yourself what has happened. And I mean this fully. This is not an insult to anybody, but if you pay attention, you see so many birth defects. You see so many people dealing with issues of children with retardation or children with autism. You see the broken family effect where the father is addicted to oxycodone or is an alcoholic and the houses are run down and dilapidated. This type of world is real, and it's part of what has become kind of the mainstay of America. We get into who we are, and we have to ask the question of how did we get here? Because the America of even pre-World War II was robust. They were hardworking people. The stature was even larger. Men were physically bigger. Now we deal with is obviously mass cases of obesity, sickness, mental disease. And so that leads me back to this meeting I had yesterday with this pastor. So this is a pastor that has he pastors two churches, one in Grass Valley and one just down the road. Each congregation is approximately 25 people. He's a Baptist pastor. And as we were talking, I introduced myself, told him what I did, and I just met him at the cafe. And as we're talking and kind of going through the things, his comment was stunning. Now remember, these are small towns. We're talking 200 to 300 people at most in these towns. And this comment was that in his churches, he used to deal with the number one problem being alcoholism. Yet today, the number one problem he's dealing with is identity, sexual gender identity. And I sat there and processed this for a minute. I'm like, I don't even know what to say about this. Like, this is such a statement to the place that we are in America, where in the small town communities, we are dealing with a level of gender confusion in a congregation of 25. This problem is deep, and it's, I think, multi-tiered. I have no question that it is originating in the preparation and mind preparation of this comes from the education system and the mass media propagation of this. But we're also dealing with something demonic. And demonic because people aren't prepared and the churches are not equipped to deal with this sort of attack. We're watching a growth of a rapid spread of a demonic sickness in this nation that is literally tearing this nation apart. And so we have the combination of things of creating a willful acceptance that you are a gender confused person. I mean, should just say gender plural, that gender is an issue. But at the core of this whole discussion and why it is such a devastating blow to the existing churches and their inability to deal with this is that what its core statement is God is imperfect. You can't run a pulpit from that position that God is imperfect unless you want to join the Satanists. And so this conflict is, it's a tragic statement in our world right now that the churches have not been prepared. Seminary does not prepare them for the issues of deliverance and dealing with a demonic attack. Deliverance and inner healing are critical and foundational and have always been foundational to this, to the church. And yet they have been all but removed. In fact, most Christians don't even believe demons exist. They go on to the next level and say, because we're in Christ, because we have the blood, there is no such thing or worry. This is exactly not true. And this is where we end up with this war that starts to crop up. And I, from just as the how I've always operated, when you have an opportunity to be in small communities and you start talking to them about problems, when you find something like this that jumps out, this is a huge data point, a massive data point, because it's talking about a place that should be immune to this sort of infiltration. We are dealing with a farming community. We are dealing with a congregation of 25 people. But see, this goes back to the same experience I had at Valley Grove Church in Thomaston, Georgia, when I worked under and worked with Pastor Travis Graham. And what was stunning about that church is that there was a congregation of approximately 100 people. Most of the time you'd have about 20 to 30 show up in church, sometimes more. But every person in that congregation had lost somebody to a drug overdose, whether it was a close friend or family member. It completely transforms our way of seeing the world. And every person there understood immediate loss and death by the hand of the darkest of evils. We're seeing this now in another level with the transgender issue, and it's massive. And this is not getting any easier as we move forward. So it'll be interesting to see how all this transpires and what actually happens. But nonetheless, it's important for us to start acknowledging the fact that truly we are under siege. And this siege is truly a demonic fight in so many levels and one that we have to really address. Now, in a interesting development here, this is a post by Laurel Logan. It says, her post is a repost of Robbie Starbuck, which is interesting what Robbie Starbuck has to say. And this post says here that Special Prosecutor's Office down in Guatemala just raided the Save the Children NGO. This comes shortly after warnings from Guatemala's AG office that NGOs are trafficking kids through the U.S. border. Jill Biden was previously a board chair for the Save the Children NGO. I don't think we have any doubt that we're dealing with a criminal cabal all the way through this. Now, here's another thing from Laura Logan. I noticed that the first response to almost every one of my posts, if not all of them, was some sexually explicit handle. I have no idea why this suddenly started happening at least 6 months ago. Now I know why. Thanks for enlightening me. How anyone could think this will be good for humanity is beyond me. We are headed for a dark future if we don't take control of this monster. And what this says is, for those who don't know, this was the post she reposted, keywords, and these are some of the key words: lockdown, COVID, gene therapy, excess deaths, climate scam, woke, trans, Ukraine, Gaza, genocide, etc., trigger an algorithm that sends a sex bot to the like comment, which is then censored on the grounds that it's a danger for children. This is the censorship culture and the censorship elite. Anything they can do to set you up. It's crazy. So, as I mentioned earlier, I also arrived and visited CJ and Rick Moyer. If you remember, CJ is a SRA survivor. She was at BARSFest. I believe they're going to be at BARSFest again July 4th, which we'll talk more about this coming week. A great visit. We had CJ made a fantastic dinner and really appreciated it. The dogs loved them, which was nice, and they really relaxed a lot. But we got into some discussions just in general about the state of things and, again, about the nature of the church. And Rick has been working on a new book, which is kind of getting to the core of this. It has to do with his missionary work overseas. And I'm going to use this as an interesting indicator of the importance of accepting Christ. This is literally is one of the like top comments of all time that Rick was sharing. And it was this: he was working with somebody on his missionary work. I believe he was in Africa, if I'm not mistaken. And the answer was basically, "Pastor Rick, I am called." This was the person he was working with. "I am called to stop having sex with a sheep." And I'm like, wow, that's like a whole new thing I didn't expect to come here and see. Why I bring this up is the power that we bring when we start bringing Christ into people's lives can overcome the most powerful sins and deranged behavior out there. And when you have if you haven't done research on this, I would encourage you to. You would be stunned at the number of old cultures that encourage sex with animals. I lived in one for 3.5 years. It's called Afghanistan. They actually do encourage it. It is a sickening aspect of the culture. And unfortunately, this is not uncommon, and especially in older cultures. So when we start to bring in this, we start to bring to this world the idea of Christ, how quickly this can transform cultural bias and even cultural indoctrinations once people embrace this. So this, while it's a shocking statement, it's also an indicator of the power of ministry and the power of evangelizing and bringing the gospel of Jesus to people. This kind of gets to the root of what we're currently dealing with. The entire push for transgenderism and getting children to have the right to choose is all geared towards the pedophile culture. Pedophile culture wants to have an open rein and ability to access any of the children in this nation at their will. They understand very well that in order to perpetuate their insanity, they have to sexually damage children and get them groomed at an early age so that they become like them. The sexual damage that occurs within people is phenomenal. And when they're traumatized at that level, the statistic I think CJ told me yesterday, which it was just amazing, and I want to say it was like 1 in 5 young girls is now sexually molested. It's stunning, the number of trauma cases we're dealing with here. This is at the core of this, the broken family, obviously a society that is focused purely on me and the lack of any sort of foundations in our relationship with Christ. Once we strip those things away, people are in free fall. And this is not new in our discussion, but it's real, and it gets more tangible as we go along. Kind of putting all that in context yesterday was a pretty phenomenal experience, because here we are in a society where we are trying to look towards bringing God into people's lives. And here we have yesterday, as I started with, a man of God who's dealing with gender confusion at a congregation size of 25. And he's even struggling with some of that with one of his children in his life. And then we have, at the same time, we have CJ and Rick that are dealing with some of the more extremes, which are many of these women that are trafficked, but they're trafficked and they're being put into value structures that aren't even of Christ and completely distorted because they've been forced into these worlds or indoctrinated into these worlds. We get back to the principal mission that we have: spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and do the fivefold ministry very effectively. It's literally, you know, the apostolic, the prophetic, raise the dead, cast out demons, and heal the sick and the broken. And all of these things come through the center point of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is ultimately our power and strength in all this fight. And it's not any more difficult than that, but that is the most difficult thing to do. So we really have to keep our eyes focused on where the win is. And the win is, for all the things we're out here, politics is the distortion and distraction, where the real fight is in the ground and trenches of bringing the word to people's lives. And unfortunately, with all the political rhetoric going on right now, there is a lot of distraction of what the real importance of things are. It isn't to say that they aren't important to track the events and to be aware of it, but at the core, our response is going to be pretty consistent. It's going to be deeper and more effective prayer. It's going to be more effective indoctrination inclusion in the word in our lives, and a more effective use of the word in this world. The one thing that I can say that we had a long discussion about yesterday is the principalities that we are dealing with here are strong. They are expanding, and they're expanding every chance they get, because we don't have a fast enough movement in a counter response by the Christian movement in this nation. Christians are the target of this global attack for a good reason. We have been empowered with and given the tools to conquer this evil effectively. The thing is that we are at this point in time overmatched and under-equipped. The reason we are there is because for so long we have stepped away from the authorities which have been given to us to fight this sort of evil. This evil, as CJ was pointing out yesterday, which is rather stunning, she says, you know, the people in the satanic movement, the higher ups, spend 20 hours a day in ritual practices to bring about the power of evil. When you consider that in terms of our lives, how much time do we spend each day? And I've said this before, unfortunately, evil is more committed to its God than we are to the one God. And that's a true statement. Not an easy one to take, but it's fact. And because of that, we witness them having extreme power and control over humanity. And the question we have to ask is, how can that happen when we have been given the full authorities to overcome them and to subdue them? So we have to really get back to a real fundamental principle of everything that we do has to be rooted truly in relationships with God and living and breathing as God wants us to do and guided by his hand in everything. And I've said this before, and I continue to pound that home. That includes something as simple as making coffee or going to the grocery store to get milk. It has to be tied and connected in our conversation in a constant and perpetual alignment with God's will, everything. And when we do that, we start to step into the greater authorities of our time. Patriots, let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this day, and for my own personal sake, just thank you for safe travels home. A beautiful day here in Southern Oregon as we look out on green pastures, literally, and clouds in the mountains. It's a beautiful day to celebrate the glory of all that you bring and the blessings of the creatures and that we have on this earth. Father, we're just going to pray for our nation today. Pray for a deep awakening and shaking, that we are praying into the understanding, the truth, you, all things are possible. Equally, Father, we're praying for the pulpit that has been weakened by the lack of tools to be able to combat this evil. And so we pray for the rise of a remnant that can step in almost like a special forces team to be able to execute the needed methods to expunge this evil and to set these pulpits free. So much of what we are dealing with right now is a mass movement of evil in a spiritual realm that most Christians don't even want to acknowledge. So Father, as part of this prayer, we're just praying for an awakening of the hearts to realize what is truly there, what is actually happening, who it is that we're actually dealing with, and the fact that this fight is real. It's not just something of our imagination. So Father, we pray a blessing upon this nation's hearts to awaken to the darkness that surrounds us and to start lighting those fires of righteousness to literally awaken people and step into this fight to make the declarations, to make the repentance necessary to step up and be able to combat this evil and the principalities that rule over us. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Patriots, I hope you have a wonderful day. I'm going to go check on the puppies here in a minute, which I'm pretty sure are sleeping soundly. They had a good long walk and got very wet and are now going to get nice and warm in their crate, and they'll move on. I'll have more of those things coming up, more videos of them as well. Nikki's doing a great job of posting that on TikTok and as well on our social media page, which I believe on Bard's Nation social media, I think she's got it listed as Bard's Paladins, if I'm not mistaken. So you can check that out. They're awesome. Amazing two little additions to my life, I will tell you. They will keep me busy. And they are a handful, to say the least. All right, Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tonight for Bards FM. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. we become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.